Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Do you know what phthalates are? Do you know what products they're in? And could they be harming our children in ways that we might not even realize? Well, my guest is Dr. Leonardo Trasende. He's an associate professor of pediatrics at NYU School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Trasende. Tell us a little bit about phthalates. Please start by just telling the listeners what they are, what products that they're in, and how they're getting into our bodies.
Well, phthalates, thank you for having me, first of all. Phthalates are chemicals that are used to make plastics soft and flexible. And they are used in a wide array of consumer products. We typically divide phthalates into two groups based upon the size of the molecules. There are so-called low molecular weight or light phthalates that are used in cosmetics, personal care products, while there are higher molecular weight phthalates that are heavier for each molecule, they're bulkier, and they're used in things like flooring, and perhaps most importantly, they're also used in food wraps and other food uses.
Wow, okay, so they're used in food wraps, and we know busy parents, as we get busy, we tend to buy, you know, things that are prepackaged, pre-products, you know, wrapped up, ready to go into lunches, that sort of thing. So if these phthalates are in some of these wraps, how do they actually get into our bodies? Do they sit on the food? How are they getting into us?
Well, they indirectly get into the food. They are in the lining of the wrap, and in the course of a particular day or before the person opens up the food, they can leach into the food itself. So then when you eat the food, it can get into your body.
Okay, so when they're in our body, what do they do? You know, I mean, how are they dangerous to us?
Well, phthalates in particular are of concern because they it can influence how our body secretes insulin in response to a sugar load. Studies have suggested that phthalates can, in the laboratory, turn off and on genes that are linked to insulin secretion. And so that raises concerns about the notion that phthalates may affect how our bodies are responding to sugar and affect our metabolism.
Okay, so we've learned on this show and others that insulin resistance is part of type 2 diabetes. The cells become resistant to the actions of insulin so that glucose levels can rise and fall and spike. Okay, so we're seeing a lot more type 2 diabetes, especially in our children. That's a rising population, Dr. Trasende. So this study that you did, this is on children specifically, but it could also apply to adults as well, correct?
Yes. In fact, one previous study had looked at adult males and found associations of phthalates with their insulin resistance, but no previous study had looked at associations of phthalates with insulin resistance in children and adolescents.
So tell us about the study now. What did you see? Are we looking at this link between phthalates and insulin resistance, and could this be... You know, I don't want to say, that it's a cause for the increase in diabetes, because we know that obesity is one of the major causes. We're seeing so much of it. But could this be something that's kind of pushing it over the edge?
So we looked at a group of 766 adolescents representative of the United States from surveys that are done by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention called the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. We looked at the adolescents' urine with respect to the concentration of various phthalates and looked at the relationship of those phthalates to fasting measures of insulin and glucose. And there is a gold standard for insulin resistance, a test called the HOMA, that does a mathematical ratio of the insulin with the glucose. and gives you a sense of how resistant someone is to insulin in their bodies. And we found that children with the higher levels of the heavy phthalates that are commonly found in food wraps were associated with measures of insulin resistance, but the lower molecular weight, the lighter phthalates, were not, those found in cosmetics. And that is actually very consistent with the mechanism that's been identified in the laboratory, adding further concerns to the notion that environmental chemicals may be independent contributors to the epidemic of diabetes that we're seeing in youth. Clearly, diet and physical activity are the leading causes of that epidemic, but increasingly, we're identifying these environmental chemicals as contributors. And these are environmental chemicals that can be regulated, whereas diet and physical activity can be maybe reasonably straightforward to change in the short term. But in the long term, those changes are hard to keep.
Okay, so environmental chemicals can be a contributor to this epidemic. That is really important to note for parents. Now I'd like you to tell parents, you know, aside from diet and exercise that we have discussed so many times regarding the epidemic of obesity and diabetes, what can parents do? Would stopping prepackaged foods, using plastic wrap to wrap foods that are left over, eating fresher foods. What's your best advice for trying to, you know, get phthalates out of our life completely, or at least to some small degree that we can?
There are some safe and simple steps that parents can take to limit their children's exposure to chemicals commonly found in plastics. They can look at the recycling number on the plastic bottle, and typically there's a recycling number, three arrows in a triangle, and the numbers range from 1 to 7, and I tell parents to avoid numbers 3, 6, and 7, in particular because phthalates are used in PVC plastic, which are represented by the number 3. In addition, they should avoid microwaving plastics. They can wash plastics with soap and water rather than put them in the microwave. And when there are scars or etches on the plastic, it's time to throw it away.
Now, what about plastic water bottles?
Most plastic water bottles are not made of phthalate-containing plastic. They typically have the number 1.
Okay, because I'm looking at a plastic water bottle right now, Dr. Tresende, and I'm not seeing that number anywhere. I see the I do see it now. Okay, so 1. So you want nothing above 3.
Well, just to clarify, there are numbers 4 and 5 that don't have phthalates or other chemicals of concern. So 3, 6, and 7 are the ones to avoid.
3, 6, and 7. So listeners, look at the plastics that you're using. Look for the triangle and the number inside the triangle. And 3, 6, and 7 are what you want to avoid. That's at least one thing we can do. Dr. Tresende, in the last minute or so that we have, a little bit less, wrap it up for us, please, for parents and this study that links phthalates and insulin resistance and the whole epidemic of diabetes that we're seeing with our children. Kind of give us a little wrap up and some of your best advice.
Sure. So parents should be aware that diet and physical activity are still the leading contributors to this epidemic, but we're identifying environmental chemicals as potentially independent contributors, and there's some safe and simple steps that families can take to reduce this exposure without having it hit the pocketbook.
Okay, and we've discussed some of those. Do not microwave in plastic. Look at the plastic containers that you're using. And as always, try and serve fresh food. You know, I know it's not always time sensitive to be able to make salads and steam vegetables, but we have to do that because it is all about the health of our children. The name of the show, Healthy Children, right here on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.